Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Fresno State had its way with UCLA. Utah struggled mightily against Brady Hoke and San Diego State. Got pushed around again. It's not a good omen for a Kyle Whittingham team. Now Charlie Brewer, his quarterback, has transferred. That was his transfer quarterback. When your transfer quarterback transfers on you, you got a problem. Utah's got a problem. Pac-12's got a problem. Here to talk about it, Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix. Let's start with UCLA, Bartu. How bad are they on defense?
Dude, as bad as they've ever been. Right now, they're actually not as bad as they've ever been. Jerry's defense in his first 3 years sucked, and really sucked. Now it's just average. It's actually middle of the pack right now. I have them on a defensive scoring efficiency number. I got UCLA sitting at 62nd. So, yeah, they gave up a ton of points and a ton of yards to a senior quarterback out of Fresno. And I think folks here in Oregon would probably say, hey, maybe Fresno really isn't that bad. But UCLA's defense has given up way too many points and way too many losses. Quite frankly, Chip Kelly would have been, I think, 100 times better off if he hadn't hired his buddy Jerry and went out and hired the godfather, Nick Aliotti, instead.
Still time for that, as Aliotti is working at the Pac-12 network. What do you make about the Pac-12 at large, Bartu? You look around, how bad is it for the conference? How bad is it for Oregon, or problematic is it for Oregon that the narrative right now in the conference is the conference stinks?
From a playoff positioning, the narrative doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't. The narrative has never mattered with the playoff committee. I've been over this with every AD, every head coach that I've ever run across. Narrative, preseason rankings, all of that is out the door. It's a formula. It's really that simple. Now, where this hurts Oregon in the formula is how many top 25 teams are they going to beat? Okay, let's just say, for example, you know, somehow they – well, we all know if any undefeated team in the Power Five's in. Right, you win everything, you're in. Okay, so but if you're 12-1, 11-2, now it's a numbers game, and here's where it's a disadvantage for a team like Oregon having the rest of the conference losing non-conference games. There's not going to be as many top 25 opportunities. The numbers game, and what you need is your teams winning non-conference games to try to get to 9-3, to get to top 25, so you get a top 25 win credit. And for everybody listening, a top 25 win for the committee is a team that is in the top 25 the last week of their rankings. Doesn't matter when you beat them. You know, if you beat USC and they're ranked 24th on November 1 and they're not in the top 25 in the second to last poll by the committee, it's not a top 25 win. So this is where it hurts a team like Oregon. They really need teams to not lose non-conference games. And right now, the Pac-12 sucks at not losing non-conference games.
I'm not convinced, like, with beyond a reasonable doubt, that a one-loss Pac-12 champion under that scenario is going to be an attractive candidate. And yet I'm hearing a lot of people go, well, it happened with Washington. It's happened before, one-loss teams. But I don't like it. I like controlling your destiny, Bartu. Go undefeated and take the doubt away.
Right. Yeah, if you go undefeated, you take the doubt away. But it's oh, man, if I could smack you right now,
smack
stop
me
with the narrative, okay? It's nothing to do with attractive. Look, me and my analytics partner, we work for, you know, we work for programs all over the country. Actually, the last 2 weeks, our clients almost beat Oklahoma in back-to-back weekends, okay? So we figured out what the playoff committee was doing year one. We have never missed a top four in correct order. Oh, TCU should have been in. No, same formula that had TCU Baylor out had Washington at number four. It has nothing to do with attractiveness. It has everything to do with the number of top 25 wins you get, the number of quality wins you get. So Oregon needs to beat as many teams 7-5 or better as possible. So Fresno is actually going to help them if they keep winning games, which we all expect. And margin of victory. You kick the crap out of everybody for four quarters every time. You're good in those three areas, quality wins, top 25 wins, margin of victory. That's what puts you ahead in the rankings. That's the difference maker, not how pretty it looks.
Dave Bartu is the College Football Matrix. The conference playing nine conference games versus eight. George Kliavkov, the new commissioner, is busy talking to athletic directors right now about that. I suspect they are strongly considering going to eight, Bartu. If he calls you, what are you going to tell him to do?
The same thing that I wrote Bob Bowlesby at the Big 12 and Larry Scott at the Pac-12 every year for the last 5 years. You want to balance it. It's a numbers game. Okay. Remember how I talked about you need quality wins and top 25 wins? Well, it's all a numbers game. And the Pac-12 with only 12 teams, they're behind the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten in terms of they have 14 teams. So there's not as much crossover. So guess what? There is going to be more teams that are 7-5 and better. There are going to be more teams that are top 25 teams. And when you play nine, and in the Big 12, it was horrible because it was a round robin, they weren't playing the numbers game. They weren't playing by the rules of the playoff committee. So for George or Bob or anybody else, you want to level the playing field, you've got to get to eight conference games.
I think they should do it immediately, right? There's no point in waiting.
No, now. Get it over. Well, at least not this year, right? Because what are they going to do, go lose some more non-conference games?
Yeah, right.
It's funny because it's not me. But seriously, though, when you start talking about numbers and going forward with this, and it doesn't matter if they go to – they stay at four, they go to eight, they go to 12. Doesn't matter what the new playoff system is going to be, because there's probably going to be some element of a playoff committee no matter what. It's going to be about quality wins and top 25 wins. And to give yourself that opportunity, you got to stop beating yourself up with lesser numbers.
Dave Bartu is the College Football Matrix. You should follow him on Twitter as well. When you are looking at you know, the advice that you give to individual schools, you mentioned a couple of programs earlier. What kinds of things are they hiring you to figure out?
Oh, my gosh. So much cool stuff. I mean, it really is. So one of the things that we do, actually, we were just working on it this morning because we're 3 weeks into it. One of the things that we do is we track opponent behavior on down distance and situation. So if Oregon is playing Washington. Washington has an offensive and defensive coordinator that have a consistent history of behavior, success and failure in down distance. We can show an opponent where whoever they're playing that week, where to attack, where they're strong, where they're weak, when they need to be passing, when they need to be running, and to try to give them an edge in game. And then as the season goes on, we update it. And then middle of October, we're going to start updating who they're targeting in down distance and situation. So let's say Oregon's playing UCLA, we're working for UCLA, and there's a pattern of play calling in that on third and more than eight, they pass 93% of the time, but then here's your top two receivers they're going to. And so what we're trying to also do is get teams uncomfortable, take the first option away, try to find the edges to make those 18 to 22-year-olds uncomfortable, go to that second and third read. That's some of the things we do on game day. We do the same thing with recruiting. We do the same thing with hiring and personnel. It's all numbers. We don't watch any film. It's just ones and zeros. trying to tell a story and gain an edge for clients inside the numbers based on past behaviors.
You mentioned, you know, the second to the last week of the season and the rankings, and how at that point it kind of matters where Ohio State is. It matters where Fresno State is. It matters where UCLA is from Oregon's standpoint as they're trying to make the playoff. Meanwhile, your timeline is just full of people arguing about the AP poll, the coaches poll, top 25 rankings. What the hell's going on? It doesn't really matter at this point, and yet everybody's into it.
It's like arguing about which uniform Oregon's going to wear. It's useless. It's useless. I mean, it's great for media, right? I mean, you can go on the air and stir things up, and everybody wants to talk about where everything's ranked for the next 6 hours, right? It's a great way to kill time and get people involved. But realistically, it doesn't matter. You know, there's no correlation between AP and coaches poll and what the playoff committee is going to do. Okay, you watch when that playoff committee ranking comes out, the AP and coaches poll, boom, going to fall right in line. Oh, we knew that the whole time. That's what we were thinking too. It's all a bunch of crap, and it's just another way for people to talk about football. But that's fun. That's part of the fun, right? I mean, you don't have rankings in the NFL, so nobody talks about it. And the AP and the coaches poll are just kind of a way for us to pass the time till the next weekend.
USC, what should they do for their coach, Bar 2?
Dude, hire me. for their next coach, they got lots of time. It's, in my opinion, still top five job in the country. The bar, the potential bar that you have is extraordinarily high right now. What would I do, though? I mean, you know, when you talk about it, I mean, I haven't heard your names floated out there because it's so new. You know, one of the first guys I'd probably call? Probably call Chris Peterson.
Let's say he turns you down. How about Luke Fickell at Cincinnati?
Luke Fickell. Okay, I'm going to call the ball on Luke Fickell right now because we know Cincinnati's going into the Big 12. Luke Fickell and Cincinnati are going to be the number one recruiter in the Big 12 by 2025 and win the conference.
Wow.
And be in the playoffs. So Luke may want to, I mean, he'd probably take the job. I mean, I'd leave Cincinnati for USC in a heartbeat, right?
Yeah. His old AD is now the USC AD.
Right. So, you know, that call is going to be made. And a lot of this stuff is relationships. Luke's done a very, very good job in all aspects. I mean, he's your number one. Him and Billy Napier are your number one G5 prospects. Luke has done it with several coordinators. He's advanced Cincinnati's recruiting from the 60s into the 40s. He's done a lot of really, really good things. Offense and defense have had really good numbers. So, with that relationship plus what Luke has done, I would think without a phone call, he's top five on the list today.
Dave Bartu is the College Football Matrix. I'm looking at your Twitter timeline, and I'm seeing some stuff about elk from 4 or 5 days ago. What is going on with you?
Oh, I'm back in town. I was gone elk. I was bow hunting elk from last Saturday through Sunday. I came home Sunday over in eastern Oregon, really new place to be hunting outside of North Powder, and just gorgeous, gorgeous out there. And I was really fortunate. We showed up on Saturday, and I was tagged out Sunday morning. My four consecutive years of tag soup ended last Sunday.
What is that like to come face to face with an elk out in their territory?
I just like being outside with them, you know, and just being outside. Period. I guess the end of it isn't my cup of tea, but the challenge, calling them in, I mean, the elk I got, he was at 24 yards, and I actually ended up calling in a bunch of cow elk, as I expected, and he was just trailing them. He was the last one up and hot for some cows, and that was the end of it for him. But to me, being able to fool animals like that during archery season and have to not move and understand the wind and have everything done right to punch your tag, it's something I look forward to every year.
Who got you into that? Where did that start?
It was me, I think, you know, because I didn't have when I was growing up. And it was here in Oregon, actually, because growing up, I mean, we had no money at all. You know, when Dad was unemployed, we'd bring in loads of logs. I grew up in northern California. High school was 20 miles away. We'd bring in loads of logs on log trucks down our gravel road, and we'd split wood all summer to sell it, you know, to make money. And so archery and things like that weren't in my youth. I think the first time I started shooting a bow, I took a bow class. It was a class at the Lane Community College when I was at University of Oregon. I thought that seemed pretty cool, and it was a cooperative thing. So I rode my bike over the hill to Lane Community College, I think my junior year. And that's when the archery started. And then I ended up talking to some guys at the archery shop in Springfield, and they took me out hunting a few times. And I, other than making sure my guns work, I haven't hunted with anything but a bow ever since.
I don't know if I could do it. You know what I mean? And I raised livestock. I raised pigs. We had a steer. I don't know in the wild if I would have the heart to do it, Bartu. Is there any part of you when you're going to make the kill that goes, I'm taking this beautiful animal out of the wilderness? And I'm not judging you here. I'm just saying I don't know if I could do it.
Every time. I mean, really, every time. You ever get in those situations where it feels like literally a million things run through your mind at once, even though it's a split second?
Yeah.
You know? When that elk came out of the woods, it was like any other one that I've taken. It's like, oh, it's awesome. Oh, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
I do question in my mind. And part of me, and then I think about the pepperoni sticks. All right. And then I think about, I got to clean this thing. Yuck. And the blood and the stink. Yuck. And then I'm taking a life, but, you know, they have tags, so we manage these things. And it's like, it's conflicting in that split second. But I also know this is, you know, now I'm not buying beef or anything like that for another year.
Yeah.
And so that part of it's good. I think the best part with this one in particular, because I'm always looking for a reason to like justify it sometimes in my heart where it's like, okay, I did kill this thing. Right. The bull I actually got only had 6 teeth left in his mouth. He was so old. He was probably one winter away from starving himself to death. So I guess the soft guy in me, that's the one thing I'm kind of hanging my hat on this one. That plus every single time, it's just good wild meat. And I think that's better for you than anything in the store.
Yeah, I'll buy that too. And I am, as you were describing that, I was thinking like, why do I have no problem taking a fish out of the Willamette? But I look at animals like an elk or a deer differently. I don't know. I got to figure that out.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's interesting with fish because I scuba dive so much. The kindest animals in the world are fish. They come up to you. I mean, you can, ling cod. I mean, you can go pet a ling cod. You can go pet an octopus. You can go right face to face with everything in the water. And it's more friendly than any wild animal I've ever seen on land. But for whatever reason, taking a fish and smacking it is not the same as taking a fur-bearing animal.
Dave Bartu is the college football matrix. You hear his wisdom on this show. You can find it on Twitter as well. Dave, thank you for joining us.
Anytime, John. My pleasure.
There he is. It's Guy. I think it's a great conversation. I don't know. Peter Sampson, you a hunter?
I'm not a hunter.
Zach, do you hunt?
He's letting
he's
Dave
talking
off the
to
line
Bartu. It's going to be a half an hour conversation with Bartu. It's Nick Eliotti's a duck hunter. He's talked about that. Zach, are you a hunter?
No, I'm back. I'm not a hunter, John.
And we've done this before in the show where hunters will call in and they'll say, hey, look, here's why it's not a bad thing. And we're controlling populations and there's tags. And, you know, as Bartu mentioned, that's an older animal that he took out of circulation there, so to speak. But I also grew up like, you know, we had livestock, we had pigs, we had a steer, we had chickens, we had rabbits, we had a horse, we had, you know, we were a little bit rural, playing like we had a farm. We didn't really have a farm, but we had all those things at one time or another. And I talked to people and they go, what were you guys on, like 100 acres? And I'm like, nah, we had an acre, but we just had them all at different times. Like, you know, we had a steer on that acre, we had lambs on that acre, not all at the same time, But we played Farmer, 4-H, all that stuff. I showed my kids the pictures the other day, and they're like, oh, look at your poor pig. And I was like, yeah, we slaughtered that pig. We named that steer Jubilee. It was the quietest dinner we ever had when we got the meat back from Jubilee's killing or murder, as it was called by my sisters. All right, leave it here. You got the BFT statewide. Some phone calls. 503-417-7575 is the number. Mark is in Portland. Mark, you have the floor. You want to talk about the Pac-12. Go ahead, buddy.
I want to talk about the Matrix guy. I got a lot of respect for him because I know he's just feeding off of the ridiculousness of the postseason of college football. The ACC right now has beaten nobody in out-of-conference games, and they're a bigger joke right now than the Pac-12, but no one's saying that, and Clemson is still in a perfect position to make the playoffs with one loss. If Oregon ends up losing a game and Clemson has one loss, there's no way Oregon's going to go over them. In fact, I'll make a prediction here. I don't know that Ohio State's going to go unbeaten the rest of the year, but if they do and Oregon loses a game, Ohio State will go in ahead of Oregon despite the fact that we beat them. So the whole thing, the reason no other sport does what college football does is because it's stupid. It is absolutely ridiculous. To listen to it for me, to give legitimacy to the committee, the whole thing.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.